This is Doug Miller. Well, the poet Robert Browning wrote on an occasion in a poem called A Song from Pippa Passes, God's in his heaven, all's right with the world. Well, God's in his heaven, all right, but if you think all's right with the world, I'm going to have to disabuse you of that notion. Stick around and let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and we are back one more time with the Word of God in hand. We are at the end of the 9th chapter of Job. We will get into the 10th chapter today, so bring your Bibles. Come along. Open up to Job. We will begin at verse 33, which is about where we left off last time. And call a friend. Tell them to listen in as well. Now, Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists solely for the purpose of seeing this word go out as far out as we can get it to as many as we can get it out to, knowing surely and certainly that there is life in this word, there is resurrection from the dead, there is power to change lives and to open hearts and to introduce the Lord Jesus Christ and to put his gospel before people. This word is the way God is working in this world today. And of course, as you've heard me say many times on here, if you listen to this program, we are utterly and absolutely dependent upon the people of the Lord for support in seeing this word go out. We beg you, we pray, please pray for Dialogue. Write our names down on your prayer lists and take our names before Almighty God. If you are a saved person, you can enter the throne room boldly to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And I can tell you right now that this guy talking to you and this ministry, we are always in need of grace and mercy and help. And it's the sort of help that can come only from Almighty God. So please pray for Dialogue and tell others about us. And we would always love to hear from you. Always a pleasure to get letters from our listeners, to know that you're out there, that you're listening, that you are praying for us and supporting us. Our mailing address, Dialogue, P.O. Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. If you didn't get that, why, keep your writing materials handy, and Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast. Now, if you don't like to write with ink and pen, our email address, Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, at sbcglobal.net. That's Dialogue Ministries at sbcglobal.net. If you wish to pull up, down, or whichever way you pull it, our webpage, it is Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, .org. DialogueMinistries.org. You can listen to radio broadcasts from past programs and read about Dialogue and just have a good time, all for free. And as with anything else with Dialogue Ministries, no obligations, no strings attached, no one hounding you for money. Wow, it's a good deal, you know. Now, if you would like to call and talk to me, my telephone number or the telephone number for Dialogue Ministries, area code 405-535-9089. Now, get this and write it down. Grab that pen. Grab that piece of paper, and I'll tell you why in a minute. Area code 405-535-9089. Why do I ask you to write that down? Well, because we have got a spot announcement going on the radio, and I mentioned it last time, and we will be mentioning this for, another two or three times. On April 27th, got that? We will have our annual Dialogue Conference. It will be held at Olivet Baptist Church in Oklahoma City in the auditorium there, and that's located on 10th and Klein, in Northwest 10th and Klein, in sort of down in the inner city. And we will begin at 10 o'clock. A meal will be served. This is why you need to, either our number, our telephone number, or our email address, dialogueministries@sbcglobal.net. You need to RSVP only for this reason. We need to know how many people are coming in so those preparing the meal will be able to, will know how many to cook for. Okay? So all I need is the number. Just, call up and say, there'll be five of us or 10 or email or and say this many or that many. But we need to know that because the meal is free. That will be provided by Dialogue Ministries, and no strings attached on that, no cost to you. You bring your Bibles. The subject of the conference will be the seven churches of Revelation. Okay? The seven churches of Revelation. And that, if for those of you who are familiar with it, chapters 2 and 3 of Revelation, I think you will find it very timely and very encouraging and interesting, to say the least. So call us up, RSVP, and come on along and spend the day with us. We'll begin at 10 o'clock in the morning and end up, 4:30 or 5 that afternoon. That'll be a Saturday, so need to let those of you who come from afar go so you can get home, get ready for church on Sunday morning, okay? All right. Now, let's get into the Word of God. Job chapter 9. We saw this last time, and I want to read this again, verses 33 through 35. Neither. In fact, let's back up to verse 32. He is not a man as I am that I should answer him, and we should come together in judgment. Neither is there any daysman betwixt us that might lay his hand upon us both. Let him take his rod away from me, and let not his fear terrify me. Then would I speak and not fear him, but it is not so with me. Let's go on down into chapter 10. My soul is weary of my life. I will leave my complaint upon myself. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul. I will say unto God, do not condemn me. Show me wherefore thou contendest with me. Is it good unto thee that thou shouldest oppress, that thou shouldest despise the work of thine hands and shine upon the counsel of the wicked? Let's stop it right there. Now, for those of you out there who are saved, I want you to bear with me a little bit here. I wish particularly to those who are not saved, I wish to speak to these. I wish to address what I am saying to the individual out there that says, and you ask yourself this, I don't know what this salvation stuff is that you guys keep talking about. Maybe you're saying, I've been in church all my life. Why, I joined the church when I was 10 years old. I got baptized. I started receiving communion. I have been faithful more or less. And yet, you may say all of that, and at times, in the night, when you're alone and when you're by yourself, you may wonder, am I really right with God? Or you may have had and experienced something like the one I had before the Lord saved me and changed my life. I went through an experience which I have written about, incidentally, in a book called A Mid-Century Awakening. If you're interested in it, A Mid-Century Awakening by Doug Miller, just go online and look it up. And you can buy it. But nevertheless, my experience was that I became absolutely convinced that I was not right with God, that I could not stand before God, that I was at enmity with Him. Now, don't worry about how I became convinced. I became convinced. Some of you out there are in a situation like this. For those of you who are saved, you may read this passage here and say, well, yeah, I'm going through some hard times right now, but I wouldn't exactly look at it the way Job does. Well, why did Job look at things the way he did here? Why would he voice a complaint in this way? There is no days man. I want you to look back at verse 33 there. Neither is there any days man betwixt us. The word, it comes from a Hebrew word that we might translate in our modern vernacular, umpire. Someone who can come and stand between me and God, said Job, and put his hand on God and another hand on me and bring us together. There is none. Well, for those of us who know the Lord Jesus, who have been born again by grace through faith, who have received the Holy Spirit, who know the salvation of the living God, we would never say anything like this. We know who the daysman is. We know that Paul wrote to Timothy back in the second chapter of Timothy, verses 3 through 5. You look it up yourselves. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. I can remember one time I was about 16 years old. I had just been saved, and I had learned that verse. There is one God and one mediator. Call it a daysman, if you wish, between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. We had a song that we used to sing, and I was in Young Life clubs back then, and we used to sing this song in Young Life. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Now, I want you to notice there's only one, but there is one, and Job didn't know that back then. He knew God. He understood his own sinfulness. He understood that he had a problem. He didn't know exactly what the answer was. Am I reaching anyone out there? Am I talking to anyone out there and you are saying, I have tried and tried and tried to be good. I just can't seem to manage it. I have made resolution after resolution, and I've failed and failed and failed. I do this, I do that, I do whatever I can think of to do, and yet every time I come in spirit, in heart, in mind to stand before Almighty God, I always feel unclean. I always know that I'm not right. I know that I'm not living up to the resolutions I've made. If you are saying that, let me tell you something. That's music to my ears. Because the, you know, whomever God would save, he first damns, said Martin Luther on an occasion. And that has been my experience, and that is pretty much the experience of anyone who ever got saved. You cannot get saved, I don't think, unless you understand first that you're lost. If you're not a sinner and lost, then what is it that you think the Lord Jesus died for? He said, I came to seek and to save the lost. Are you lost? If you say no, well, maybe not. Or maybe you've never been saved and don't know what it's all about. But Job came to know what it was all about, didn't he? I've got news for you. I've got good news. There is a daysman. There is one God and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. He is the one that stands between. Now, back when I was first saved, I started to say this and I kind of deviated a little bit. But look, I was in a Sunday school class. And a teacher, this Sunday school teacher, who quite frankly didn't know what she was doing and shouldn't have been up there, but she was an elderly woman and she'd been teaching Sunday school for years, and she was up there talking about the Reformation and how we don't believe in the intervention of the saints because we are what she was calling Protestant, and she was going on and she said, you know what the Bible says, there is no mediator between God and men. Well, I know what she meant. She meant, of course, no human mediator that's on earth right now. But I stuck my hand up in my ignorance, apparently, and I said, well, there must be a mediator. The Bible doesn't say there's no mediator. It says there is one mediator, Christ Jesus. And boy, did I make her mad. She sat me down real quick. Well, I hate to say this, but guess who was right in that one? I was. This teacher was wrong. There must be a mediator, and there is one. Now, I said at the outset of this broadcast, I said, God's in his heaven. Yes, Robert Browning got that part right. But all's right with the world? Oh, no. Oh, no. Robert Browning, for all of his optimism, he was dead wrong on that one. And if you've got eyes to see, and if you've got a functioning brain, and if you have the least bit of a smattering of honesty about you to be able to look out there and see what's going on, you know that all's not right with the world. This world is coming apart at the seams and with galloping speed. Everywhere you look, men's hearts failing them for fear, people trying this, that, and the other, nothing seems to work. Hatred abounds, war is on every side. You know why? Because somewhere a long time ago, individuals rejected God. It began in the Garden of Eden. It continued right on through up to the Lord Jesus Christ. It continued in Jerusalem and on the hill of Golgotha where he was crucified, and it has gone on ever since, year after year. And it's not getting better, and it's not going to get better. For those of you out there who are deluding yourselves, you think that all we have to do is elect the right political slate. You think that all we have to do is clean up this slum over there or that one down there. You are deluding yourselves with the notion that if we just educate them and clean them up and tell them to be nice and ban guns. How about that one? Yeah, we'll take all the guns away. Well, look, you take the guns away, then they're going to kill one another with knives and clubs. You're not doing anything. You cannot do anything until you get down to the heart and soul of the matter. People are estranged from God. And look at this. Once again, we read down into the 10th chapter of Job. You know, Job doesn't understand why he is being oppressed. He doesn't understand that God despises the work of his hands and shines upon the counsel of the wicked. Job doesn't get that. Look, God's not shining on the counsel of the wicked. God is not even despising the work of his hands. God loves the work of his hands. And if you are out there listening to me and you are unsaved this morning, let me tell you something. God doesn't despise you. He loves you. But you are estranged. You are the one going astray. And you are out there lost because, simply because you have never been born again by trusting in His blessed Son. You see, the very proof that God does not despise the work of His hands, the very proof that God is not shining on the counsel of the wicked is, if God despised us and hated us, He would not have sent His Son to die. And if you are out there listening to me right now and saying, well, I don't get it. What am I to do? I can tell you what you are to do. It's real simple, really. And if you say, well, how do you get something like that? Look, don't be sitting around out there trying to turn over a new leaf. Every new leaf you turn over will only be the same old soil page you've been looking at. Every fresh mark will only be a fresh mistake, as Robert Service wrote on an occasion. Quit it. Stop it. Look at yourself as you really are. If you are not born again, if you have never believed the gospel, you are unsaved and you are lost, and you're looking at Job here saying he's weary of life, you're really going to be weary. The gospel is simple. Jesus Christ died for your sins according to the Scriptures, and He was buried and He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now, the Apostle Paul tells us over and over again, it is by believing the gospel that people get saved. Now, some of you may be saying, well, yeah, believing the gospel, but keeping the Mosaic law. Oh, no. Believe the gospel. Well, it's believing the gospel, but you got to go to church and join the church and get baptized. Believe the gospel. You lay hold on the truth of that gospel, and I mean from the heart. And what is it again? That Christ died for our sins and was buried and rose again the third day. Some of you may be saying, oh, well, it couldn't be that simple. Yeah, you keep telling yourself that, and you will be right. You're headed for the pit. You keep telling yourself that, and the day will come when you will rue the day you were ever born. Now, I couldn't make myself plainer if I were a buttonhook in well water. You believe the gospel. You lay hold on Christ Jesus as your Savior and Lord, and He is the day's man. He is the one standing between you and God. He is that mediator who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. What are you waiting for? How long do you intend to go on rejecting the one who wishes to save you? You come to Him right now and lay hold on Him and be saved. This is Doug Miller, and this is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.